This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is coming up to 6:08. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. And the big news today, of course, is that Malaysia finally, after close to a week, close to 5 days, has a prime minister. We've been asking you how you're feeling, what you'd like to see prioritized. And before we get to our next guest, I think we do have time for some messages and some voice notes. Let's start with this one from Shazni.
Hello, Malaysia. I feel so happy now. It's so relief. At first, when I heard the news that Anwar Ibrahim is going to be our Prime Minister, I don't believe it. And then after I checked all the media portals saying the same news, and then I cry. Yeah. Good luck, Malaysia. Godspeed. We can do this.
Shazni, thanks so much for sending that through. I think that that sense of disbelief was something that I heard from a number of people of the checking in of a variety of portals. And I think that comes from a few different things, right? But also because we have been living with so much uncertainty over this week, as well as so many false starts in the past. We've had a few news portals tweeting headlines that turned out to be inaccurate, but coming absolutely from that sense of just wanting to know how things are going to go. There are also a few messages coming in that are optimistic. Dr. RK recounts what Anwar had been through, especially in terms of arrests and being detained and so on. And then saying, a moment of epiphany for so many Malaysians, including a 29-year-old, that all was not right in Malaysia from 1998. That led to the birth of the Reformasi movement. I feel emotional today, like many of you. I hope that Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim can move Malaysia forward with a new vision. By the way, I'm feeling optimistic about Malaysia's future. I think that sense of optimism is one that I hope is shared. I think that we've been talking a lot about disappointment on our show recently and of compromise and of that being in many ways the backbone of a political system, because after all, in order to work together with differing points of views and parties, you are going to need to have that compromise. And so even as we are getting these messages, right, from people who are so happy and optimistic, I think it is important to remember that there are also people who are dissatisfied with the outcome and who still have questions. And so in the weeks to come, it is going to fall to the new administration to put out the right message, right? To put out the message that they are here to serve the people, even the people who didn't vote for them. For example, we also have this from, let's see. Well, actually, on a lighter note, we have some conflicting opinions about holidays. Benjamin says, on behalf of all Malaysians, cuti. Eugene says, relief it's done after wayang so many days, so holiday. But CJ, meanwhile, says, feel good and please don't declare a holiday. We need to quickly move forward and work it out. So that, I think, is going to be my next question. How are you feeling today with all the news? But also, holiday, no holiday. We're seeing differing opinions popping up. So if you'd like to weigh in, that number to call is 7733-2900. Send a voice note or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at PFM Radio. In the meantime, we're crossing to our next guest. Joining us now is Iskandar Fariz, Communications Director at REFSA. Iskandar, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you, Lynn. Nice to be here again.
So were you surprised by how all of this has shaken out?
I think Malaysians are a bit accustomed to the PM drama. Although there are inkling of an Anwar premiership, but we tend to expect twists and turns towards the end, as we've seen in previous PM races. So I guess it's more of a relief that we have a confirmed PM by 5 p.m. today.
And what do we know? I mean, we know that this is going to be a unity government, right? There has been an acknowledgement that it is a Pakatan Harapan-led government, but BN is a part of it. So what do we know about the makeup and where does the Borneo Bloc fit into all of this?
I'm afraid for now, among the public, it's purely a guessing game because we are not really privy to the nitty-gritty and the details of the agreement. But what we can surmise from the recent events, even prior to the swearing-in of Dato' Sri Anwar, is that Perikatan Nasional is likely not to play a large role or even maybe not even a role in the upcoming unity government, since the coalition contested the legitimacy of Dato' Sri Anwar's support. So I don't see them being... I don't see any scenario of them being part of the government just yet. On the other fronts, I think there will be presence of the Sabah Sarawak Borneo bloc for diversity, to ensure diversity of the unity government. Other than that, we are not sure how the cabinet makeup will be and what kind of distribution that we are looking at.
Now, there has been some dissonance within BN's ranks prior to last night's decision. What do we know about where the coalition stands, especially in terms of its allegiance to Dato' Sri Zahid Hamidi?
You are right. BN has been going to and fro ever since after election. They've been quiet, I think, the day after election, but then started to reassert themselves when Perikatan Nasional claimed that they had Barisan Nasional support. We can track back that Zahid Hamidi denied Barisan Nasional giving any support, even individual MPs, to any coalition, especially Perikatan Nasional. What I find interesting is Dato' Sri Azadina's reading and explanation of the anti-hopping law that finally drove Barisan Nasional to decide en bloc. So that somehow turned the tide, and we have what we have, the scenario that we see today.
Are you concerned about the stability of this government, given the strong stand that BN leaders like Hishamuddin Hussein and Ismail Sabri were taking previously against forming a government with Pakatan?
Well, I think everyone would have their concern. But what I see today is basically the first step. Again, the devil is really in the details of the agreement between the parties of the unity government. We have, like you said, you mentioned earlier, that the personalities like Hishamuddin Hussein and Ismail Sabri taking a different stance from its the president of the party. But then Dato' Sri Azadina has invoked the anti-hopping law and the agreement that they signed prior to receiving, prior to contesting in last GE. So those are, I could say, fail-safes for Zahid Hamidi for now. But how do we see this play out is a question. We see the next government facing multiple challenges that might be able to be sorted out within the coming weeks. The first challenge might be the passing of the budget. First, the provisional budget to ensure that we can have a running government. Second, probably the UMNO General Assembly that is about to be held in December. And also beyond that is the full form of the budget that they might want to pass next year. So these are the milestones that we need to look out for. Nothing is certain as of yet, but I'm sure discussions and negotiations would be still ongoing. We would be on the lookout who will get what in the forming of the cabinet and subsequent appointments for this cabinet, for this government.
Speaking of the cabinet, both Ismail Sabri and Muhyiddin Yassin had 70 cabinet members, the size of which was heavily criticised at the time. Anwar Ibrahim has promised a much leaner cabinet. Are we likely to see this happen? What are you anticipating here?
Well, again, it's a guessing game. But what I would like to say is that there are alternatives to appointing members of parliament to the cabinet in the form of a reward. Other measures that can be considered is to appoint these members of parliament as chairman of parliamentary select committees. So this can be one way of ensuring support while also empowering parliamentary workings. So we can see, we can have check and balances where some of the members of different parties are put into parliamentary select committees to check and balance ministries and also the government going forward. So I don't think GLCs and cabinet positions are the only way to ensure support. We really need to empower parliament because eventually, when we move to GE16, GE17, there will be more and more, there could be more and more uncertainty and even more hung parliaments. So we need to strengthen parliament itself instead of concentrating power on the prime ministership, which will cause further instability, as we've seen from Langkah Sheraton and post-Langkah Sheraton.
Briefly, do you see today influencing the outcome of Padang Serai, the parliamentary seat which has yet to commence voting, and Tioman, which is a state assembly seat?
Well, yeah, I think there will be a certain, a different take on campaigning. It might not be as fiery as we see before. It will certainly be interesting to see how these different parties campaign, especially if a majority of them are now in the same block as a government. We just need to wait and see.
What do you think are going to be the main agendas in this Anwar Ibrahim-led government?
For the current, for the upcoming government, it is helpful and insightful to look back at each of their manifestos or deals or action plan that they offered during the campaign period. We need to be mindful also that it's not just going to be Anwar Ibrahim's agenda. It will also be BN's agenda, a few other coalitions' agenda merged together, melded together as a shared agenda. So this would be also part of the factors to be considered as part of the negotiations, not just trading positions, but also what kind of policies they want to push through with this unity government. It's also important to strengthen and empower the opposition role, I foresee, because in the Agong statement today, where he said, yang menang tak menang semua, yang kalah tak kalah semua, there are no true winners, there are no true losers in this unity government. So there is a pressing need to enhance the role of the opposition leader and institutionalize the form of a shadow cabinet with enough resources and manpower so that even those who didn't manage to be part of the government has a role to play in this whole healing process for the nation. So whoever who didn't manage to be part of the cabinet, hopefully they can play a role in nation building by serving as the opposition leader, a shadow finance minister, a shadow transport minister. So for each of the ministerial position, there should be a commensurate position as a shadow cabinet so that no parties seem like they are on the losing side and we can build a nation together.
Iskandar, thanks so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you, Lynn.
That was Iskandar Fariz, Communications Director of REFSA, speaking to us about, again, today's political developments. We have also been asking you, how are you feeling? What would you like this new government to prioritize? What are the most important things? And a sort of side mission question that has emerged through the comments coming in. Public holiday, yes or no? Which side of the fence do you fall on? That number to call is 7733-2900. Send a voice note and WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.